am not ashamed of the gospel. Neither should you be. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Those magnificent words of Rabbi Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to the believers in Rome, Romans 1:16, letting you know that you've tuned in to Jesus Made Me Kosher. We come to you every weekday at this same time, delightedly so, here on Faith Talk 1500 WLQV. This program is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. We're coming to you live today from the studios of WLQV and also live from the via Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael. And we want to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day. You've probably now heard it 15 times, 20 times. That's okay. We want to add ours to it. And we hope that it's a good day for you. It's a great day to focus on love, not love as the world thinks of it, but love as the Word of God teaches it, especially love as embodied in the person of Messiah Yeshua, God's greatest expression of love for mankind. So, Rabbi Lauren, you've got some thoughts about not just this day, but about this grand theme of love.
I do, Rabbi Glenn, and it's based on 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. John, this great representative of Messiah, taught us that love is one of the evidences that demonstrates that we are in a kosher relationship with the living God and that we will be living forever with the eternal God, that we are saved. So John in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 writes, "Dear friends," and he's writing to Christians and Messianic Jews, "Dear friends, let us love one another." Rabbi Glenn, people have all kinds of ideas about what love is, many of which are wrong, particularly on a day like today, which focuses exclusively on romantic love. But what is the love John is talking about? Well, real love, biblical love, is a commitment to do what is best for another, to care for another, to help another, to benefit, to bless, to build up another. Love is the opposite of selfishness, of self-centeredness. Love is selfless, sacrificial, other-centered. Love is doing for others what you do for yourself. Christians and Messianic Jews need to be encouraged to love one another because we don't naturally love one another like we should. Here's the problem. God designed us to be like He is. We are made in His image, and God is love. He designed human beings to love one another. We were designed to care for each other, to be our brother's keeper. But our nature and our ability to love was corrupted by the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And we are now fallen creatures, and we have a fallen nature. And it is impossible for us to love the way God designed us to love. It is now natural for us to be unloving. It is natural for us to be selfish, self-centered, not other-centered, to not love our neighbor as we love ourselves. The only way we could love others the way God designed us to is by getting reconnected to God, who's the source of love. When we are united to God, the source of love, we receive power to love. So John adds these words, "Dear friends, let us love one another because love comes from God." Love comes from God. Now, maybe you're listening to me right now and you're thinking, what do you mean love comes from God? That we can't love others apart from being reconnected to God. Rabbi Lauren, I've seen a mother who's not a Christian, who is not connected to God, and she loves her child. I've seen a man and a woman who are not believers, love each other, care for each other, be committed to help each other. Well, love that reveals that a person really knows the living God and is in a relationship with the living God is not the love of a mother or a father for a child. atheists and criminals can do that. It's not the love of a child for a parent or the love of a man for a woman. Murderers and drug dealers and rapists can do that. Love that gives evidence that a person is connected to the three-in-one God is not the love of those we are close to, those we feel are part of us, those we are fond of, those who are like us. It's true that human beings have some love, but the reality is that the love of fallen human beings is imperfect. They are able to love to a limited degree, and their love is selfish. They primarily love themselves and those who are closest to them, those they get the most benefit from. The love of man is a self-interested kind of love. But the love that shows that a person is connected to God is a different kind of love. It's a love for the unlovable, for the hurting, the poor, for those not like us, for those not close to us, for those we are not even fond of. It is the desire to do what is best for them, to help them where they need help the most. Also, the love that shows that a person is connected to God and is receiving power to love from God, that kind of love is based on truth, because love must help, not harm. Love must build up, not tear down. And truth, not error, helps and builds up. Love must be based on truth, not error. Love must be based on knowledge, not ignorance. Love cannot be separated from truth. Here's what I mean. If love is not based on truth, a person will give bad advice that harms another. And that is not love. A psychologist claims to love his patients. Someone who is struggling with a temptation maybe towards the same sex goes to that psychologist. And the psychologist advises him, you know, give into your homosexual feelings. They're natural. Go with them. You'll be better off. That is not love. A middle school teacher claims to love the children in her class that she's teaching, but encourages them to have sex before marriage as long as it is safe sex. That, my friends, is not love. A woman goes to her boyfriend and tells him she's pregnant, and he responds by telling her to get rid of the problem by abortion, killing this child that's growing within her. That is not love. Truth is essential to love. And when fallen human beings don't love based on truth, they harm others, not help others. And that is not love. Love is not to be confused with being nice. There's times when love must be tough. There are times when love will cause pain. If a child needs to be disciplined, the loving parent will bring discipline to that child. If a man refuses to work, the best thing to do is not give him food. That merely enables him and weakens his character and motivation by supporting his unwillingness to work. That is not love.
I wonder, Rabbi Loren, if I could ask you a quick question with regard to that. It seems, and I really appreciate what you're saying here, too, because sometimes we do things with the best of motives, but sincerity is not a barometer of love or of truth. Sometimes we'll do things with the best of intentions, the best of motives, such as handing out money, handing out food to people, not who are out of work, but who refuse to work. We might have the best intentions, but we can do great harm.
We can, Rabbi Glenn. Love is very much connected to truth. They cannot be separated. God's love, true love, must be based on the foundation of reality, of truth, that really helps, not harms, that builds up, not tears down. You know, there are Christians who claim to love the Jewish people and love Israel. You know, they'll say things, oh, I love the Jewish people. I want to bless them. I want to give money to some organization to help them get back to Israel. But I would never witness to them. that might offend them. Rabbi Glenn, would you say that that is love?
Absolutely not. That's more of a self-affirming thing. That's all about, I want to feel good about myself, so I'm not going to give Jewish people the thing they need the most because I don't want them to be upset with me. Well, that's not love. That's actually that's a form of cowardice.
Exactly. A lot of people confuse love with sex, but that, you know, sex and love are not the same thing. A person can engage in sexual activity which has nothing to do with love. And love is also not to be confused with romance. A person can have romantic feelings for another person, but be selfish in that relationship and want to take from that relationship and not give to that relationship, and that is not love. Moving from one selfish romantic relationship or, you know, to another, that is not love. Moving from one sexual encounter to another, Rabbi Glenn, that is not love.
Well, you'd think to see the way Hollywood pumps out these trashy movies constantly, bombarding us with this idea, you'd think it was, if Hollywood was any barometer of truth. But it shows us how out of touch Hollywood is with reality. You know, one of the things, Rabbi Lauren, is that you see these television shows, these movies that show people jumping from relationship to relationship, from bed to bed, and you never see the consequences of it. You never see that they have to go to a doctor now that they've got a sexually transmitted disease, and now they're going to have to take this medication for the rest of their life, or, you know, they're diagnosed with AIDS, or you don't see the emotional devastation and the brokenheartedness or the sense of emptiness. We never actually see consequences.
You know, Rabbi Glenn, sex cannot be removed from love and commitment. God designed sex to be engaged in by a man and a woman in a committed relationship that bonds them together, that keeps them together throughout a lifetime, where they're committed to each other, they help each other. If God blesses them with children, they raise children that are raised with good values and good character. Sexual activity cannot be taken away from love and commitment.
That's absolutely right. In fact, an analogy that I've used with my own children is that think about fire. You know, you and I both love firing up the wood stoves in our homes. There's just nothing like a natural wood fire. And, you know, I tell the kids, hey, isn't it great to have a fire going in the fireplace? Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. I said, think about it. It adds light. It adds warmth. It adds ambiance. It's such a wonderful thing, provided it stays in that box. The minute you take some of that fire out of that box and bring it into some other part of the house will burn down, people will die, things will be destroyed. Sex is like that, and I've told my children that it's wonderful as long as you keep it within the God-intended confines of committed marriage.
Exactly. So a person can engage in sex and have nothing to do with love. A person could have romantic feelings for another, but be selfish in that relationship, and that is not love. Moving from one selfish romantic relationship to another, that is not love. Love must be based on truth, because love and truth help and don't harm. And Rabbi Glenn, the three-in-one God of Israel is the only source of love and truth. So the love that John is talking about, true love, biblical love, that shows that we have been restored to life, is a love that can only come from God and only from a new divine nature that is given to us as part of our salvation experience. So again, let me quote from 1 John chapter 4. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love.
You know, I can just hear somebody who's not a believer, not a follower of Jesus, or maybe somebody who's just playing religion, telling themselves, hey, you know, I love my family. I love my kids. So when the word, when the scripture says everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God, that must mean that I know God because, you know, I love my wife or I love my kids or I love my parents. No, this is not that natural kind of love. And you made the point so well. This is agape. This is unconditional love. This is love apart from anything you stand to get in return.
Exactly. It's not love that benefits us. Love by its very nature is giving, not taking. Love by its very nature doesn't benefit us. It benefits the one that we love. So the love that indicates a person has been connected to God, who's the source of love, is a selfless love. It's a love for all of humanity. It's not the love of parent for child, child for parent, because that, you know, there often is a self-interest in that kind of relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching a show about outlaw motorcyclists and, you know, these rival gangs, and they're killing each other and they're doing this and that. Oh, but, you know, they love their own wives. They love their own kids. Yeah, and yet these are not people who know God at all. So obviously we are talking about a whole other category of love. Well, Rabbi Loren, talk to us about the love of God. He expressed it in a way that cost him dearly.
Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God loves, Rabbi Glenn. In fact, probably the most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son to be the atonement for our sins. So love is who God is. It's not just something God does, but love is who God is. God is love. Love is an essential part of his nature. Love defines who he is and how he relates to all other creatures. And his love is a giving love, not a taking love. It is a sacrificial kind of love. It is a love that builds up and benefits his creatures.
Mm. You know, I was just looking at Matthew chapter 5. Yeshua actually really challenged. People will say, oh, the Sermon on the Mount, it's just such a beautiful thing. It's one of the most difficult, frankly, most difficult teachings ever. You know, he says, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, you know, he didn't say big deal, but I mean, he said, what reward is that? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? If you greet only your brothers, right, the people you really like, your friends, what are you doing more than anybody else? Don't even pagans do that? Therefore, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Boy, we are called by God to exhibit and demonstrate a love for others that follows the pattern he gave. He gave his son. He paid a price. He gave sacrificially. It cost him dearly. You know, love that doesn't cost anything isn't really love. We really start to understand what love is when it's perhaps one of the last things we would want to do, but this other person so desperately needs to hear that thing or needs, you know, whatever the corrective thing is. It may cost me. You know, folks, if you have a friend that you know is walking in sin and they are doing wrong and you're keeping silent and you say, well, it's because I really love them, you're not loving them. You're loving only yourself. You're just afraid of their disapproval. When you love, you give that person what they need, even if it means you sacrifice that friendship for the sake of speaking the truth into their lives.
Exactly. Sometimes the most loving thing would be to tell someone that they are, you know, fallen creatures. They are far from God. They're in the most desperate need of salvation. That is their greatest need. And salvation only comes from knowing who the three-in-one God is and transferring their loyalties to the three-in-one God. And if they don't, they're not going to live forever with God. There's another place that those who don't become loyal to God go to, and that is Gehenna, hell, the lake of fire. Is that a nice message? I don't know if it's a nice message, but it is the truth. And it is, you know, the loving thing to speak the truth when that is a person's greatest need.
Absolutely. It was a very loving thing, Rabbi Lauren, for you to warn people about the reality of hell and the need to turn back to Yeshua, to Jesus, in order to be rescued from hell and reconciled to God. That's a loving thing to say, but there are so many people, including Rabbi Lauren, those who call themselves evangelical, who seem unwilling to speak those kinds of things. And I can only conclude that what they really are after is people's approval.
Exactly. God's love means that he's committed to help his creatures. He wants what is best for them, to bless them, to do good for them, to provide for them, to help them reach their God-given potential. And if they are fallen and can be redeemed, he wants to redeem them. If they can be saved, he wants to save them. If they can be rescued, he wants to rescue them. And so he will speak to the truth to them, even if it's not something that his creatures want to hear. And Rabbi Glenn, if we are saved, if we are born again, if we are in a right relationship with God, if we have a new God-given nature, we will start loving like God loves. Again, from 1 John chapter 4, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love, and it's the kind of love that we've been talking about, does not know God, because God is love. So our love must come from God. It comes from a God-given, newly recreated nature, and our love will be more and more like God's love. And I think that is what we should be thinking about this Valentine's Day. What the Bible says is true love, not this romantic mush that is pushed out in the popular culture.
Absolutely right. And, you know, I want to kind of issue a bit of a challenge, Rabbi Lauren, to some of our listeners. I know that many of you have Jewish friends, and you've perhaps tried to drop hints, or maybe you've not even done that, but you know they need Jesus, but you haven't really stepped out and begun to speak to them about their need to be reconciled to God. Let us challenge you to do that. And let me also direct you to our website. It's shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. And under, on the left side of the front page, various articles, and one of the headings is most important articles, and you can find a really outstanding article that Rabbi Lauren has written there about reaching out, sharing the faith with Jewish people. And we would encourage you to find that article, print it out for yourself, read it and consider it, and then go and begin to speak to the Jewish people that God has put in your orbit. And you've got to believe, if you are a follower of Jesus, God has Jewish people in your orbit for you to testify to.
And if there's not Jewish people in your orbit, pray that God would send some Jewish people into your orbit so that you can make them jealous of your relationship with the God of Israel and the wonderful Messiah and your understanding of the Jewish scriptures from Genesis through Revelation and your sure hope of eternal life in the New Jerusalem.
Amen. Well said, Rabbi Lauren. Hey, we have about a minute left. I'm wondering if you could talk about the upcoming luncheon that we are having for pastors to help show them what's going on in terms of Jewish evangelism around the world and even here locally.
Yes, we want to invite pastors in the Metro Detroit area to a lunch to explore the relationship between the church and the Jewish community, as well as some of the latest trends affecting ministry to the Jewish people. So if you're a pastor, join us for lunch on Tuesday, February 28th at the Regency Manor in Southfield. And if you're not a pastor, tell your pastor to call and register. Lunch is free. Our keynote speaker will be David Brickner, Executive Director of Jews for Jesus, the largest Messianic Jewish outreach ministry in the world. And I'm going to talk, and you're going to be there, Rabbi Glenn. It's going to be great. Again, lunch is free. Call the office, 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. And let's get these pastors to this wonderful lunch.
Well said, and yes, we do want to invite you to that. Well, it's been a great day, and we hope that the rest of the day and the evening will be lovely for all of you. So on behalf of Rabbi Lauren and myself, everybody at Congregation Shema Yisrael, we want to say shalom v'ahava, peace and love, real love.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael. a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can join us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.